Welcome back. I hope this week was really transformational for you. I know some of you had dates and some of you went out and made some changes to your normal pattern. And I just want to acknowledge those who are really adopting an attitude of yes, like I talked about in the Kickstart video last week, and are really making conscious choices to make sure those little choices that you make can add up to big shifts over time. And I just want to encourage you, even if it feels like you're just making baby steps right now, to keep going with those baby steps, because you'll get to the end of this program and you'll look back and realize, oh, wait, I came into this process and I hadn't had a date in a year or in a few months or whatever it is. And now I'm much closer to that. I'm going out on dates and I'm feeling more confident. Maybe I'm in a relationship, whatever it is for you. Everyone is going to have a different definition of success in this program. And I want to encourage you to just keep on this path. We are only on week two, so please stick with it. This is the week where the rubber really hits the road. Last week, we talked about mindset and getting prepared for this process of dating in a different way. This week is all about action. This is where things are going to start to get a little different. And we're talking, as you know, today about sourcing and screening. So sourcing, the first part about sourcing is figuring out what methods are working best for you. I know some of you have tried different online dating sites or apps, which is exactly what you should be doing in this phase. And if you're dissatisfied with one app, know that you could always try another one. We'll talk more today about designing a profile that is truly magnetic and brings the dates to you. But if you're doing outreach, which we'll also talk about in a little bit, that profile still has to be the perfect description of who you are and what you're looking for to be able to match with the person that you are sending messages to. So we can't skip the great profile phase because that is key to this process. I'll also be talking about other methods of sourcing because I know that not everyone here is really excited about online dating. That's okay. But maybe by the end of this process, you'll be embracing online dating and having more success with it. So let's continue to keep an open mind. People always ask me, what is the best dating site or app? And unfortunately, I can't give that to you. I'm not withholding from you. I'm just saying I can't prescribe that for you because each app has a different tone, a different way of using it, a different dating pool on it. Each one operates differently. And I gave you the Spin Your Web book, which does have a chart to be able to help you figure out what features each of the site have and which one is the best match for you. Ideally, you want to be on two apps or sites at the same time. And I'll tell you, I've had clients begin long-term relationships on nearly all of the sites or apps. I've had people from Match, OkCupid, Tinder, Bumble, Hinge, JDate, eHarmony, Coffee Meets Bagel. I could go on and on. But those are the majority of the apps that I've had success with. But I'll tell you, you might have luck with Plenty of Fish. You might have luck with Facebook Dating. You might have luck with a new app that I don't even know about yet. There's always new apps being created and new opportunities for you to connect. And regardless of what the app's marketing platform says, regardless of other people's success stories, you are going to have your own experience on the apps. And I just want to remind you that the app is just the tool. It's all in how you use it. So first, I want to think about generating more volume for you, getting more options into your funnel. And I want you to think of it as sort of a funnel that you're making selections about as you go through the process. So it's a funnel that starts wide and then gets narrower and narrower as you screen through. And we'll talk about screening in a moment. All right, here are the top four ways that people meet today. And one of them I don't recommend. So listen up. Top four ways: online, dating referrals, that's any kind of friend network or someone you know, connector circle, which I talked about in the Kickstart Love video that I gave you. Singles rich events, so that's mixers, meetups, speed dating, anything like that. Or work. All right, spoiler alert, work is the one that I don't recommend. I'm sure you've met people through work and you know that that is just really a tricky place to navigate relationships. Studies have shown that many people now are believing that work is a great place to meet. We're spending so much time at work that is where a lot of convenient relationships are happening. But I'd really love to encourage you to expand your circle and not date at work because of the complexities of what that brings up. Now, today I'll talk about the top three ways that I recommend: online dating, through referrals, and singles rich activities. Maximizing your ability to source is really going to be key. So let's just begin with what your profile needs to say and tonally how it needs to read. So let me ask you, do you have anything on your profile right now that limits your pool or limits the funnel? This could be anything like, don't even write me if, or I'm not interested in players, or don't write me if you're not a God-fearing Christian, or don't waste my time if blah, 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 blah. We won't be a match if you are a Republican. Whatever it is, if you have anything like this, please take it out, because you're putting up a screen in the sourcing position. Sourcing is about getting people into the funnel. Screening happens later. And you want your search criteria and your profile to be as broad as possible, because you want to then screen the people when they come in. If you have so many matches that you cannot go through all of them, I did an article once on this for Shondaland, and I had a girl that was overwhelmed with the number of bad matches for her, and she was like, I don't know how to sort through. For her, I had to use a different technique. So if you have more matches than you can go through, kudos to you. That means you have a really excellent profile. That's a different process. And there you want to do a little bit of screening. But for most of the people in this program, you need to get the options expanded. And so I don't want to see you screening in the sourcing position if you're in a place where you're feeling like you don't have enough dating options or you haven't been out in a while. It's about getting qualified applicants into the pool. And you can't get qualified applicants if you don't have enough applicants, right? You want your profile to be a beacon. You want it to bring people in. You're like a lighthouse. You want it to be magnetic. You want it to be attractive. You want it to be exciting. So how do you do that? Well, there are must-haves in any magnetic profile, and I'm going to give them to you right now, so have your pen and paper ready. You need to have 4 to 5 photos. Notice that I did not say 25 photos. This is not your social media profile here. This is a curated selection of your life details. This includes photos that have the 3 C's. And I know some of you have heard me talk about this before. I have a part of this in my profile starter kit, but I'll review it a little bit more here, but not dwell on the 3 C's here. I'll just reiterate. Those 3 C's are color, context, and character. Color is to draw the eye in, and you have to put yourself in the position of the matches that you're trying to meet. They're doing searches. They are swiping on all of the same apps. They are talking to match after match after match like you are. Any advantage that you can get to capture their eye and make them pay closer attention to you is a good thing. And remember, with the dating apps, it's the same as out in the real world. It's just the tool. So think of it this way. If you're going out to a bar and you're feeling yourself, you're looking good, and you're really putting yourself out there, you're wearing a brightly colored clothing, you are more likely to attract a match than the person who's trying to minimize themselves and is walled off with their friends wearing black in the corner, right? Because you're going to be visible. And this is just another way of getting visible while they're swiping. You want to capture their eye, and color is a really simple and easy way to do that. Studies have even shown that if a man looks at a woman wearing the same outfit, but one is blue and one is red, he will rate the woman wearing red as more attractive, even if it's the same woman. So these tips and tools are really simple, actually, but they can get you bumped up to the top of the list. They can improve the algorithm and the chances of you making a match. So use the shortcuts. And at this point, there's still a ton of little black dresses and dark colored shirts, button-down shirts for guys. that I see on dating profiles. So there haven't been enough people that have taken this program to flip the system where color is no longer standing out. So I want you to use that color in that primary photo to get someone to stop and go further through the rest of your profile. The second C is context. This is telling your life story through your photos. Your match wants to know, what is this person about and what do they enjoy doing? And we all know that nobody's really reading profiles very carefully anymore. We can be mad about it. We can be frustrated about it. We can complain to our friends about it, or we can understand that and work within the system to make it more successful for ourselves. So you want to get your match to understand what you're about by showing pictures of the activities that you normally do. And I said the activities you normally do, not making up activities that you don't actually do because you want to seem more interesting. You want to have real activities that you enjoy. If you love travel, show that. Show that you're worldly. If you're athletic, show that you're athletic. Don't tell people that you're athletic. Show us. Show us your tennis skirt. Show us how you run and the headphones that you use. Give us any kind of threads that we can connect to when we're going to write to you. And then the pictures are also less likely to lie than the written part of the profile. This is another thing I hear about a lot. I know a lot of times you're frustrated because somebody might say, oh, I'm really athletic, but then they don't actually do any activities that demonstrate that. So we want to mitigate that, at least from your own profile perspective. We can't control what the other people's profiles are saying and doing. And I'll talk in screening about how to sort through and what some of the red flags are. But for you, I want you to be presenting out what you are about so that you can attract the right match for you. All right, the third C, the third and final C is character. Character is the one thing that most people forget or that they ignore, and it is the one thing that is most impactful in getting people to take initiative to write to you. Character is showing that match, the other side of you. Maybe you're a little bit quirky or nerdy or bookish, or you're really energetic and you're the life of the party. Make sure that you're showing that personality in your profile. We do not want all glamour shots. I say this, but I can't tell you how many times I see people having filtered photos and inauthentic photos, or having like all photos with the same angle and the same smile. That's boring. You want to have an interesting picture that really stands out. If your profile's interesting and if you're putting little details in there that someone can connect to, then that will give them something to write to you about instead of just saying, hey. And how many times have you gotten those hey messages, and how annoying are they? Give them something else to comment on and let them rise to the occasion. Now, when we're talking about the written part of the profile, this is also important. And a lot of people skip this part or don't know what to say or phone it in. And really, to have the most honest and most energetic and most complete profile with all of the possible threads that someone can pick up on, you need to take the written part seriously. Now, I was working with a private client recently who was on OkCupid, and she had a great three short paragraphs in her profile. You have to remember, OkCupid is not Tinder. It's not one paragraph where that's all you get. And there are 10 questions that you have the ability to answer at the beginning. So why not answer them? It gives you the best chance at success. If you're on a site or an app like OkCupid, and it's more than just someone in your immediate area that you're searching for, you have the ability also to search by keywords on OkCupid. You can search by various match criteria. Don't just go based on what the site shows you. These algorithms are kind of lazy. And you are always going to be the best advocate for yourself. You are always going to be the best matchmaker for yourself, because only you, not a computer, only you know what you're really attracted to, right? So you want to go and do your own searches and source your own options to be able to send out outgoing messages. Now, going back to the profile, I want you to use passion words. I know it sounds nerdy, but if you're not sure that your profile really conveys enough passion and personality, use a thesaurus and find other words that really amp up the profile that will give you access to a higher profile match. If you want someone smart, the best way to appeal to that person is with an interesting and varied vocabulary. And when you have that passion and that charisma in your profile, those are the kind of things that someone will respond to and write to. You want to use stories that emphasize your point rather than lists. Saying something like, "I'm really into music," is not as powerful as saying, "I am the queen of concerts. I have seen this person and that person and this person in concert. And that remind me to tell you one day about the time that I got to go backstage and meet Bruce Springsteen, or when I saw him play at Madison Square Garden," or something like that. I mean, maybe you don't have a story like that to show, but it could even be something as simple as, instead of saying "family is really important to me," saying "my favorite time of the year is Christmas. There's nothing like the feeling of being surrounded by my 20 cousins and eating my mom's macaroni and cheese and bringing this dish that I love to cook." You can really bake in a lot of detail when you take the time to think about what you want to say and write it, then rewrite it, and then edit it before posting. And I'll also tell you that the way our memories work, you will be more memorable if you tell stories through the profile. If you make lists, it will all blend together. But if you tell a story like the one that I did about Christmas, you're probably already picturing what that Christmas looks like, then that person is going to have a connection to you and they're going to remember you and take initiative. And when you are writing a list saying just, "I enjoy this, I like people who are this," it doesn't engage them in the same ways. And just a word about that, because sometimes when I tell people about storytelling, they think it doesn't gel with also being concise. Not true. We are in a rapid digital communication age, so we want to use fewer words, but we want to say more. Does that make sense? You need to figure out how you can say more by typing less. And a lot of times that can be from using a more powerful word or from telling a story that conveys the emotion and the tone of what you're trying to say. But it doesn't mean it has to be long. And I do have the profile starter kit in this week's material. So if you're really stuck, then this is a good way to jumpstart your profile. It has some prompts for telling stories in it. And if you're really stuck, it even has some fill in the blanks of past profiles that I've written. And it allows you to just put your own story within the framework that I know already has worked for people. But just keep in mind the app that you're using when you are crafting it. 3 paragraphs is typically what I use for a legacy site like Match or OkCupid. However, if you're on a more casual app like Tinder or Bumble, the norm is only 1 paragraph, with 4 sentences or less. And this week, I'll also give you access to my online dating seduction system with your materials that will really guide you step by step on how to create this kind of profile that you need to source the right kind of people, how you can find the right kind of photos, and even how you can edit your photos. And a word about editing photos. Let's be honest. Everyone today is editing photos. And I'm not saying stretch your image to make you look 10 pounds lighter or face-tuning your pictures. I'm giving you ethical advice on how to improve the perception of your photos. So I'm saying crop people out that are not relevant to you telling your story. You want to be the star of your profile. You want them to focus on you, right? We don't want to have pictures of other men or women that you've gone out with or people that you're hanging out with in your profile. That is drawing focus from you. So I'll teach you how to crop it to draw the eye to where you want them to look and how to fix lighting. Sometimes just fixing saturation a little bit or putting a filter on it can really change the tone of a photo. And some people will come to me and say, "Well, I just really don't have photos." And sometimes that's because you're not thinking of taking photos for online dating, right? But maybe in this program you will for the next 30 days. But if you come into starting your profile and you think you don't have any photos, You might have photos that would be really great if someone was cropped out, or if the color was adjusted, or if the lighting was adjusted and the exposure. So I guarantee you, you do have some photos that are usable somewhere in your phone. You have photos that are right for online dating. So I'm taking away your excuses now, but I do encourage you to continue to take photos, because you can never have too many, and we want to continually be updating your profile and keeping it fresh. But this week, if you really feel like you do not have photos, I would encourage you to make that your goal for this week, to take your phone with you any and everywhere. Act like a tourist in your own town or at your own activities. When you're going to your book club, say, "Hey, can you take a photo of me? I know it's kind of strange, but can you take a picture of me in the bookstore or with my book?" Or if you're part of a running club, get someone to take a picture of you in your running gear. Think of this week as presenting yourself profile first as you're going through your life. And just look at ways that you can capture your life story through pictures. So that's your assignment. Whether or not you have photos right now or a profile that's working right now, your assignment is to take more photos this week. And while we're talking about sourcing, we have to think of doing outreach online, and visibility is key. As you're dealing with a computer, you're programming the algorithm in your favor. So I want you to be sending outgoing messages this week and set a goal for that. Ideally, I like to have my clients sending at least 10 outgoing messages this week, actually every week. And keep in mind that you'll probably only get a 25-30% response rate. That's the average. I know some of you have said that you feel like you're sending a lot of messages and not getting responses, but you have to think of it like this. Think of it as coins in the fountain. Now, when you're making a wish, you're tossing a coin in the fountain, you take out a penny and you hold it and you think of what you want to wish, and then you toss it in. And sometimes that wish comes true. And it's wonderful when it does, but sometimes it doesn't. But if it doesn't, are you still thinking about that penny? Are you feeling like you wasted that penny? Probably not. You may still be thinking about that wish, but you're not fixated on that penny. So I want you to think of online dating in that way. You're sending these messages and they're just pennies. Some of them will bear fruit, some of them will not. But don't fixate on the ones that aren't bearing fruit. Fixate on the ones that are, and continuing to work to that larger goal of meeting that ideal person. Focus on the wish, not on the penny. Now, if you're on an app that requires a mutual match before messaging, I want to encourage you to err on the side of swiping right for yes rather than swiping left for no. On swipe apps, the filtering process comes further down the funnel. And your goal with sourcing is to generate as much interest as possible so that you can filter once you see your options. So try not to be too discerning based on one or two photos. Look for reasons to say yes and see possibility in people rather than for reasons to say no and discard them so early on. If you aren't sure of what to say in that outgoing message, I really like a simple formula. And it's just this: one comment on something that you've seen in their profile, and then a question, something that gets them to be inspired to write back to you. I have a client that had a guy that she wanted to write to who had pictures of a puppy in his profile. So she could say something cute and maybe a little bit cheeky, like, "What a cute dog. And the human who comes with him isn't so bad either." And then also, she lives in a cold weather place, and this guy had just moved from California. So she could say, "Does your puppy have a winter coat? His California fur isn't going to cut it in this kind of cold." Saying something like that means she's engaging with him on something that he's already interested in, his puppy. He said something also about looking for a new hobby. So she could say something about looking for a new hobby too. "And what do you think about aerial yoga?" Or something else unique and perhaps even a little obscure. And down the road, that could even become a date idea. So there are so many threads usually in people's profiles that you can pick up on. You really want to engage them with something that they've already talked about or shown to you. Now, I'm not telling you to become aggressive. But I'm telling you to leave this little breadcrumb for them to pick up on. And sending those outgoing messages is really key. You want to be the one doing the picking. You don't want to wait for whomever sends you a message, whoever lands in your inbox and begs you for a date. And fewer women are sending messages online than men. Still less than 20% of women are sending outgoing messages, which means that for you ladies, you are stacking the deck in your favor if you are the one landing in their inbox without them doing the search. And also, for whatever reason, you might not be coming up in his searches. So you're giving yourself a chance at making a match that might not otherwise be there. And if you land in that inbox with a message that really engages them on something that they're really interested in, then you're that much closer to beginning the conversation and getting on to the date. Now for men, that subject line is going to be key. Most women do receive a ton of messages, and you need to have something intriguing in your subject line or in the first line of the chat if you're on a swipe app that is going to cut through that list of other options for her. If you're sending 10 messages and you're getting 3 responses back, you're doing really well. A lot of times I've gotten my clients, and this is clients of all ages, clients of all backgrounds, I've gotten them 50, 60, 70, even 80% response rates. So I know this is possible if you're doing it the right way and if you're really being proactive about it. All right, I know I've talked a lot about online dating, so now I want to move on to referrals. I have a friend that asked me, Damona, do you know the difference between asking for help, asking for a favor, and asking for advice? Now, I didn't know the difference then, but I'll tell you what she shared with me. Asking for help is sort of overwhelming to people, right? It's saying, you need to do the work to help me. It's not giving them the tools to be able to help. And they're thinking, hey, I've got my own life. This is a little bit overwhelming for me. But asking for a favor is asking for one specific thing that someone can do for you. And asking for advice is asking someone to tell you how they've been successful in the past. So when we're talking about asking for help, we just want to set that aside because it's too much. You have people around you who know the kind of people that you should be dating. But a good rule of thumb is to start with asking for advice if you're not sure how to start the conversation. You can say, tell me how you did that when you were single, or it seems like you're going on a lot of dates. Where do you meet people? Or it could be more general, just I'd love to hear how you met your husband. I'd love to hear your love story. And once you've gotten them to open up to you, then you ask for a favor. And this is one specific thing. If you saw the Kickstart Love video, this is going into your connector circle. You want to go to these people asking for one thing. If you know someone who is XYZ and you give them your top 3 ideal mate qualities, then I would love to be introduced to them. We worked last week on creating the vision for your ideal mate and the living vision. Maybe you did some list making. So as we're talking about the connector circle, you want to go back to that living vision that you created and hopefully that list of your ideal mate and narrow it down to the 3 most important qualities that you need in a mate. And when you go to your connector circle, you're asking for something very specific from them. You're asking for a favor. You're not asking for help. You're asking for one thing. Do you know someone who is this, this, and this? I would love for you to introduce me to them. And then that programs them to be able to think of you when they come across that person. If you were to ask for help, which is basically just saying, hey, can you set me up with someone? That's overwhelming because then they have to scan through everyone that they know and think, well, is that person right for so-and-so? I don't really know. If you tell them specifically what you're looking for, then whether they have someone top of mind who's single that they can set you up with or not, when they meet someone who meets that criteria, you will be top of mind for them. So make sure you go back to that ideal mate visualization and your living vision and make sure that you have your 3 must-have qualities and distill that down into your elevator pitch for a match. Now, the last thing I want to talk to you about today is the singles rich activities that I mentioned earlier. So this is bars, singles events, sporting events, cultural events, concerts, charity events. Hopefully I named at least one thing that you haven't thought of here. And you look back at that living vision and you ask yourself, where would this person that I want to meet, that I've drawn in my ideal mate scenario, where would they hang out? Where would they be? Where would you find them? That is where you need to be then. And when you get there, if you encounter people who are not single or you don't make a connection, I want you to think about this as an opportunity to build connections. Practice your flirting, which you're going to be doing more of next week, as that's the topic of next week's lesson. But you need to find ways to work into the conversation that you're single. And going back to last week, I was talking about single shame. If you eliminate single shame, there's nothing stopping you from saying it. And that opens the door for them to reveal that they're also single or that they know someone who's single that you might like. And the more people that you have sourcing the options for you, the more options that you'll have. And then next week, we'll talk about ways to open up and start conversations and flirt in settings that are new, if that's something that you're not comfortable with right now. But the first step is to just get out there and see how it feels to be somewhere new with new people out of your traditional element. And if you all follow me on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, you know I'm really big on quotes. And I just find them really inspiring. And one of my favorites is this one. Discomfort is the feeling of change happening. So just remember that throughout this process, when you get to a place that feels uncomfortable, and you're going to get to a place that feels uncomfortable, whether it's going to a bar by yourself or talking to a stranger about being single or talking to someone you know about being single, just remember that discomfort is the feeling of change happening. Yeah, it's uncomfortable to go out to a bar single again after years of being in a relationship. And I know you'd rather go home and put your jammies on and watch Netflix. But just remember, when you're in that situation, that discomfort is the feeling of change happening. So this is the week that separates the men from the boys and the women from the girls. And it's not the time to get overwhelmed. I want you to continue setting goals that you can reach, but that stretch you a little bit. Whether that's a goal of how many messages you're going to send, or how many people you're talking to in your connector circle, or how many times you're going to go out, or how you're going to get out of your normal routine. And all goals need metrics to come true. So make sure you're setting these goals and writing it down. And maybe you want to email them to a friend. Tell your friend your plans and ask them to be your accountability partner to make sure that you continue to stay focused on those goals. Before we wrap up today, I want to talk about screening. So if you're getting out and you're meeting people, but you're not finding a connection, one of two things is happening. Either you're being too picky, which might resonate for some of you. If you've heard or used that term before, I really just want to ask you, is it that you're too picky or is it somewhat of a protection mechanism? Because going out with someone requires a certain level of vulnerability and it requires a certain level of changing your routine. It's possible that by pushing someone away before you've even had a chance to meet, that could be a way of keeping yourself in the feeling of comfort. This week, I want to ask you to really examine that. And if you've been told you're picky, that maybe that something else is happening for you. The second reason that people say they're picky is that they haven't done the work up front to screen the dates before going out with them. And if you're finding that you're not making a connection, it could mean they're not right for you. And just remind yourself that this is part of the process. You're going to kiss frogs. You're going to go out with a few people that aren't right for you. I've had clients that their first person they went out with and the first person they've met in this program is the person they ended up with. And that's great for them, but it's extremely rare. So you want to get out there as much as you can and remember that it is leading you towards meeting that person. And if you are going from sourcing to screening, eventually you'll go from 10 to 5 to 3 to 1. And if you're already doing a great job sourcing and you're moving from online dating directly to a date without a phone call, if you're just texting, if that's happened to you, I wonder how many times you have gone to the date without a phone call and then you've been ghosted, or that you've been completely shocked that the person sitting in front of you seems totally different than you expected. Many times that's because you didn't screen or you missed the signal when it was there. So let me tell you a few of the red flags so that you're not missing any of these. And there are always red flags, but it's different for each person. Yet I'll tell you today some of the universal ones. First, sloppy profiles. Profiles that look like they're thrown together. Profiles that have old photos, that have half-answered questions. And then second, lack of follow-through. You send the message and then they wait 3 days to write back to you. And then you have to continue to prod them to get them to respond or to go out with you. Then third, you want to look out for someone with photos of other people in their profile. This is a lot of times also people who will have words in their profile that emphasize things like fun, freedom, friendship, and other non-committal language. People will tell you up front who they are. Another quote that I love that you might have seen on my Instagram, Maya Angelou said, "When someone tells you who they are, believe them the first time. Don't make them prove it to you again and again." So many times we see these red flags in the profile and then we think, well, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. You're a prize. We don't have the time and energy for the benefit of the doubt. If you're looking for a relationship, make sure their profile reads as someone who's ready for commitment. And if they end up being flaky early on, then they're just going to end up being flaky later on. So you can cut down on at least 50% of the time wasters. And yeah, there are a few people out there who will flip the script on you further down the road, but you'll see a drastic reduction in the time wasters if you do more screening up front. And there are signs of relationship readiness in profiles, just like there are red flags. So look for carefully curated profiles, profiles that look like they spent some time. Look for well-written profiles that have a blend of seriousness and humor. Humor is one of the only ways that we can demonstrate risk in today's society. So look for humor and look for similarity and sense of humor. Your next line of defense is that you want to do that screening call, phone call. Whether this is someone that's coming up from your connector circle or someone that you've met in a mixer or especially someone that you've met online, the screening call is a great way to cut down on the time wasters before you get to the date. And it really only should be about 10 or 20 minutes. So don't think of it as wasting time. It's actually going to save you time if you are going on dates that are an hour, 2 hours long and realizing that that person isn't someone that you wanted to even be on the date with. You'll save yourself a lot of time by just setting aside those 10 or 20 minutes up front. And I suggest that you arrange a time for them to call you. Don't just say, "Here's my number, call me anytime." Say, "I'll be home between 7 and 9 p.m. tonight. Give me a call then." Or even a specific time to call, like, "How about we talk tomorrow? I'll be home at 8. And that's a way of screening. Because if you told them you'll be home between 7 and 9 and they don't call you during that window, what does that tell you? Not that motivated. Not able to step up for you when you ask them to. You want to set that window. And then when you're on that call, that's your opportunity to ask them questions about key things in their profile. See if they can talk about those things that you noticed authentically. Sometimes people will write things that aren't really true. Yes, that happens. I know it's happened to you. And this is a good way to source for that. And I know what you're thinking, so I'm just going to acknowledge it. Why can't I just do this over text, Damona? Is that what you're thinking? You can't screen effectively over text. People can take their time to respond. They can do research. They can curate their personality over text. But on the phone or in person, you get a more authentic read on someone. So I'm a big fan of the phone call, the screening call. And through that call, you can even tell them something that demonstrates one of your key values and see how they react in real time. Then once you start getting into a good conversation, you want it to feel like it's ending in the middle. For women, say, I'm really enjoying talking to you. It would be really great to continue this conversation in person. It's not direct, but you are asking for a date without really asking. You're inviting a date. And that's the cue for a man to say, yes, I'd love to go out with you. Now, a motivated guy will ask the woman out before that point. But if you leave that phone call and a date has not been set, don't end up in a text romance for days and weeks after. There are so many people there who will waste your time and that won't actually ask you for a date, no matter how much time you're texting with them. And you don't want to let that happen to you. You need to really conserve your energy here when you're screening and then drive the conversation towards getting to the date. You want to get on that first date and get offline quickly and then keep it short and sweet. You should have my first date starter kit in your materials from last week, but I'll remind you, 1 hour is all you need for that first date. Mm-hmm. And also I recommend that you should be coming from somewhere and going to somewhere afterwards so that your date knows this is not going to be a 5-hour date. This is not going to be a sleepover. Mm-hmm, on the first date. That is your course on screening and sourcing. Don't forget, you have access to all the materials. So if you didn't get a chance to watch last week's video, or if you haven't watched Kickstart Love, or you didn't get a chance to download or review the Spin Your Web book, go back and read that. There's a lot of foundational information that can help you as you're sourcing and screening. At this point, we have people at all different stages in this program. Some of you have had multiple dates and some of you are yet to go on any dates, and that's okay. Be where you are, but just keep moving forward and just keep remembering you are not alone in this process. I am here to help you. I'll see you next week. Until then, happy dating.